Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Today we're going to be talking about the joy of the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Amen. Believe that today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Spoken in Jeremiah. And at the time that these words were spoken, the Israelites had just returned from captivity in Babylonia. And under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, the people had rebuilt the ruined walls, rebuilt Jerusalem's ruined walls. Now they began to have their eyes set on, or their sights set on, reestablishing the temple and restoring the nation. But there's something lacking, and they've just, even though they've just finished rebuilding the walls, their lives are still in a mess. They still felt like they were in captivity. And they spent 7 years in captivity, and the walls were finished, but there was still distress among them. And in Nehemiah 9, we can read how they felt. They said, "We're still slaves today. Slaves in the land that you gave our ancestors so they could eat its fruit and other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies, our cattle as they please, and we are in great distress." How many knows that you could be free but still feel like you're in captivity? Amen. So even though they had been brought out of captivity, they still felt like they were still in that place. And in Nehemiah chapter 7, the word reads in 73, it says, "The children of Israel was all in their cities." And then we go over to chapter 8. And we read where Nehemiah called a special meeting. And all the people, that the word says, gathered themselves as one man into the street at the city's water gates. They gathered themselves as one. How many knows there's power in unity? There is power in unity. And so the preaching of the word began to come forth. And the scripture says the people were hungry to hear the word. And may we as a people never not get hungry for the word. Amen. May we always have a hunger for the word of God, for that is what changes our lives. That is the foundation. Amen. And so they brought the law of Moses before the congregation, and the word goes on and says that the people began to hear it with understanding. And so Ezra stood before the people and just began to read, and he was so overcome by what he read that he just stopped and began to bless the Lord. And so I want to encourage you today, if you have a situation where you're feeling distressed, bring the word into the situation, because that's what's going to change it. When you bring the word into that situation, it's going to begin to change it. And all you have to do is just start, open the word up and just start beginning to read it, because there's life in the word of God, and that word is anointed to change that situation. And so he began to stand before the people, and he began to read, and of course, at that time, it was the law of Moses. And the glory of the Lord came down, that everyone began to raise their hands in praise, and the people began to answer amen, and with the lifting of their hands in praise, in repentance and brokenness, and bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You know, if we want to see revival, we've got to get back to the place, to our brokenness of saying, "You know, Lord, we need you. We need you. We need to see your hand move in this nation. We need to see your hand move in our churches and in the lives of your people." And so they began to fall before God, and they began to weep before him. And so never, ever lose your dependence on God. Amen. And so in repentance and brokenness, they began to fall down and began to worship the Lord. And the group of Israelites was a different generation, we've got to understand, that had grown in captivity in a foreign country. So this has been many, 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 a long, long, long generation. You know, so how far along had people forgot to tell the next generation, you know, about the promises of God? And sometimes when we're in that distressful situation and we feel like we're boxed in, we forget what the promises of God sometimes, and we forget what God has promised us. So they began to hear who they were and who they belonged to. They began to hear what God had promised them. They began to hear the position they were in. And so sometimes in life we need somebody just to come along and say, hey, what are you thinking that way for? Why are you talking that way for? You know better than that. You said under the word. And sometimes it may upset us and we're like, okay, you just need to get out of my face. But then it jars us to say, you know what, they're right. They're right. You know, I know what I really believe. And what I'm thinking is saying is not what I really believe. Amen. So they had forgot that God had not forgotten them. The priest went through the crowd, the word tells us, and he began to give the people the understanding of the message. He began to say, this is what is being said. This is the message to you. You know, you are children of God. You belong to God. He's brought you out of captivity. You're not in captivity no more. Look, you've rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Now you're going to set your sights on the temple and begin to build it. So may we never lose sight of the vision and the dreams that God has given us. And sometimes life can be hard, and we lose sight, especially if it's something that's taken a long time coming. We lose sight of what God has promised. So we don't understand at the moment we're in or how we got there, but go to the Word, and as I said, bring that Word. Bring the Word into that situation. And Scripture helps us not only see who God is more clearly, but it also helps us with what we're going through in life. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. And David said in 2 Samuel 27, 28, now, O Lord, you are God. Your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. So we're in that place, we begin to read that word and put us back in remembrance of who we are and God's promises to us. And then in chapter 8, verse 8, they read the book of the law of God distinctly, it says, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The word gave means expounded the meaning of what they just heard. Understand means to discern, to perceive, to consider, insight. So we as ministers, hopefully we begin to expound the word to you, that you begin to gain a greater insight or understanding of what has been said. And then when you leave there, when you leave church on Sunday morning, you're like, yeah, that is how the word should be preached and ministered and taught. That when people leave, they begin to say, yeah, because there's an anointing on that word. Amen. To change your life. So the Israelites must have seen the message of what was told in their lives, because they were experiencing the fulfillment of God's promises to them at that very moment. So that's what some people maybe need to come up to us sometimes and say, look at what God has already done. You're walking in the promises of God already. You're walking into the fulfillment of things God has spoken to you already. But the enemy doesn't want you to see that. He just wants to see how you're boxed in, how you're feeling distressed. But I want to reassure you, if God has done it before, God has done it before, he will do it again. Amen. So they began to understand again. They began to discern. The walls had been rebuilt. They were in their homeland. And like I said, sometimes somebody just needs to come up and give us a good smack and say, listen, you know that ain't what you really believe. Amen. So at those times we're in distress, sometimes we don't see a bigger picture. Hallelujah. So the Israelites began to see themselves in the place that God had positioned them. And God's word is his promise to them. Begins to make sense. For they began to see themselves in it. You know, it's like Pastor Laverne was reading about the dry bones. You know, I've always thought, you know, why did God ask Ezekiel if those bones could live? Because God knew they could. I believe God was saying, Ezekiel, I want you to see that they can live. And so, you know, God's promise to them begins to make sense because they began to see themselves in the Word. And it was like the valley of dry bones. God was saying, Ezekiel, can these bones live? So Ezekiel's answer is, well, I don't know, God, but you do. But so God wants us to come into agreement with what his word is. And they began to see ourselves in that word. Began to see ourselves as what the word says. So when we go to the book of Jeremiah, he had prophesied the very destructions that the Israelites are now suffering. But in the same breath, Jeremiah, now we're going to get to the joy in a minute, amen? Sometimes you got to just get to this part to get to where you're going, amen? So in the same breath, Jeremiah gives them a promise that their mourning will turn to a mourning of joy. The promise is to bring them from the land of captivity, and he describes how they will return. He said, I'll bring them from the north country, gather them from the coast of the earth. He said, I'll bring the blind, the lame, the woman with the child, and a great company. They shall come weeping and supplications. I'll lead them. I'll cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way. They'll not stumble, for I am the Father to Israel. The Lord says, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, and for your work shall be rewarded. And the Lord says, and they shall come again from the land of their enemy. You know, there comes a time when you just have to quit crying. There comes a time when you just have to get up and throw the hanky away and say, that's it, I'm not crying over this situation anymore. I'm going to remind myself what the Word says, and then I'm going to just stand on that Word and use the authority that's been given to me. Amen? So what a message of care and hope God's Word is revealing to His people. And so the book of Nehemiah begins to reveal the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. So he's leading them with supplications, meaning he is caring for them. He is causing them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way. And they're not stumbling, means that God is sustaining them. And so he sustains us today. Amen. So the Israelites are experiencing the joyous realities of the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecies. And I just want to stop a minute and say to you that you are getting ready to walk into some prophecies being fulfilled. Amen. You're going to start walking into some prophecies that are going to be fulfilled. Amen. Let me just go back and go ahead and read this word. I was going to wait till the end of the service, but I want to go ahead and just go. I feel like I need to read it now. So this is a word today for somebody that wants to grab a hold of it. Amen. When I was getting this together, this is what I began to hear the Spirit of the Lord say. So you receive this today. I'm hearing that the Holy Spirit say your present situation is about to turn around. Because when you begin to see yourself in the Word, at that moment your situation is turning around. I hear a 100-degree turnaround. It's suddenly going to happen, and you've been pressed in on all sides, but the breaker has broken through on your behalf, and help has come. Amen? Hallelujah. Begin to see yourself free, and I hear the word unfettered. Glory to God. For today is the day of great rejoicing. And when I just seen that, I seen like a bird in the cage, a bird knowing that he could fly, but he was in that cage, and until he was released, he did not really know how much he could fly or what freedom that he had until he was released from the cage. He became unfettered, and God has made us that way. We've been free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Begin to see yourself free and unfettered, for today is the day of great rejoicing. For I... your deliverer has come, and no longer will you hard-pressed to do and be something I've not called you to be. But, for in me you are free, and not just barely free, but abundantly free. Those things that have wanted to clip your wings to keep you from soaring with me are broken. For in me you are free to be yourself, and in me, and in being yourself is how I have anointed you to be. So many times we spend so much of our lives trying to be something that somebody else is. And you know what happens when we do that? We get ourselves more and more in bondage, and we're not helping anybody else. God gave you the personality that you have for a reason. The enemy wants to come to steal your joy to keep you from being who God has called you to be. You know, you've heard some people say, well, their personality is just way out there. God can refine you. He knows how to sharpen you. And he'll send a lot of people along the way just to help you out. Amen? So you are free to be yourself, and to be yourself is how I have anointed you to be. So fly high and let freedom ring in your life. Aren't you glad you're free today? You're free from religion. What great freedom. No other greater freedom there can be is to be freedom from religion. And to learn about God's grace. He says, come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. And a Message Bible says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And someone texted me the other day and said, God is attracted to your weakness. God's grace is attracted to your weakness. God's grace is attracted to your shortcomings. Because His grace has been made sufficient. Amen. So here they are, and Nehemiah and Ezra then was beginning to preach to them, and they began to see themselves again, and they began to see their position again. And sometimes that's the way the word is. It brings us back to that place of sin. When we bring that word into our situation, it brings us to that place of sin, what the word has to say about it. Amen. Let me find out where I'm at right now. And so Jeremiah began to prophesy to him. And they began to read the word of God to him. Praise God for His word. Amen. And then the Israelites are experiencing the joyous realities of the fulfillment of the prophecy, of Jeremiah's prophecy. And the joy of the Lord becomes our strength as we begin to put ourselves in remembrance of what the word says. Because that's where our strength relies, is knowing the word and who we are in the word. So when they begin to, the people of Israel stood and began to hear that word that was brought forth. And when they begin to hear that, I believe that the joy of the Lord began to bubble up inside of them, because you've already got joy inside of you. You're not trying to get joy. You have joy. You have everything you need to be who God has called you to be. The enemy is trying to take from you what you already have. That's why he wants to steal your joy. And so when they begin to hear their position and that they were called of God and they were in the land and they were building the walls and they were going to go build the temple, the joy of the Lord must have began to bubble inside of them, because it brought back to remembrance who they were. And isn't it exciting to know, for somebody to stand up and tell you that you are not what other people says you are? Isn't it exciting to stand up and listen to somebody read from the Word and you're like, wow, what happens? The Word that's already in you begins to connect to this Word, this written word, and that's what causes that excitement and joy in you, because it's bearing witness as one. So the joy of the Lord became their strength, and they read, that says the book of the law was read distinctly. It caused them to begin to understand what was being spoken to them. And then it goes on to say, this is a sacred day. In verse 9, the priest began to speak to the people. He said, this is a sacred day to the Lord. Don't grieve. In other words, quit crying. Get up. You know, I'll never forget one time, I just felt like, you know, I was just crying about something. And God says, I am not concerned about your tears. I don't answer you because of your tears. I answer you because of your faith that you have in my word. God don't answer your prayers on your self-pity. God answers your prayers according to the word. Amen? And I'm not saying that he's not full of compassion. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But there comes a time that we have to take responsibility for what we've heard and then begin to stand on that of which we heard. In other words, mature and grow up and get a hold of the meat of the word. Amen? So he says, this is a sacred day. Quit grieving. This day is holy to your Lord God. Don't mourn, don't weep. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. In other words, let's get up, let's get on about the Father's business. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah, I know you've done bad and all this stuff, but aren't you glad God doesn't hold any of that against us? You know, so let's just get on with what I've called you to do. Let's just get on about the Father's business. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as long as you're grieving and crying and weeping and feeling sorry for yourself, you will stay where you're at. Amen. Just as the joy of the Lord became their strength, God's chosen people, then the joy of the Lord is their strength as His sons and daughters. He's saying that to us today. Joy in the Hebrew means rejoicing. It means gladness. It means joy. In the Greek, it means cheerfulness or calmness or delight. Amen. But you know, joy of the Lord is not necessarily just jumping around all the time and smiling and all that, but it's an inner calmness that you know everything's going to be all right. It's just that peace that everything's going to be all right. God's word produces joy in our hearts. That's what I was talking about a while ago. When we hear that word and there's something starts bubbling inside of us, it's coming to agreement with what God has placed in our reborn spirit. That's why that joy begins to happen inside of us. That word produces joy. And then we begin to read the word. We begin to understand that it's God's will for us to prosper and be in health and to live in peace and all of that. And it produces joy inside of us. And once we've heard the word of joy, what happens? Once we hear that word that the joy of the Lord is our strength, you're going to go out of here today and the devil's immediately going to come to steal that word from you. Jesus said that he even would. He said, immediately the enemy comes to steal the word. Because the enemy doesn't want you to get a hold of the word. Because the word is so powerful that it will change your life if you will allow it to. Immediately it says the thief comes to steal the word. The word tells us in John, we're very familiar with that passage of scripture. Anybody want an ink pen? We've got about five up here. So, anyway, where was I at? Hallelujah. The word tells us in John, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. And one thing he wants to steal from you is your joy. Now, understand that that's the nature of the enemy is a thief. That's his nature. He cannot help but lie, and he cannot help but try to take from you because that's who he is. And that's what he does. Because one thing he wants to steal from you is your joy because there's strength in maintaining the joy of the Lord that has been given to you. Joy has been given to us by God, and it is a spiritual force. What you have inside of you is a force to be reckoned with. And once a child of God gets a hold of that, knowing that that force is within them, there is nothing that can stop you. So the joy of the Lord is a spiritual force. The Word of God is the power of God to bring that joy forth. This joy is within us because he is joy. He is joy, so he lives in us, right? The joy of the Lord is in you because he lives in you. It's not something you're trying to get. It's something that you have, as I said before, that the enemy is trying to steal from you. You'll be given this strength to overcome anything the enemy throws your way. You know, the Israelites forgot the word of promise that had been given to them. And they had to be reminded of what the word was. And once they began to hear the preaching of the word, they began to get their joy back. That's why it's important not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That no matter what kind of week you have had, you know, I've always said, if I can just get to church on Sunday morning, I know that I'm going to hear something. Whether it's through praise and worship or something somebody said, I know that I'm going to hear something that's going to start that bubbling inside of me. That's just saying, oh, yeah, that's really how I believe. It's not how I've been acting or what I've been saying this past week. That's not who I am. You know, I am what this word says I am. So I begin to hear that. And so Jesus said in Mark that he said that, this is what I was talking about a while ago. He said that once the word is sown in a man's heart, Satan comes immediately to take it away. It's in the little things of life. It's in the little things of life that the devil comes to steal our joy. It's not the big things. It's not the big things. In other words, when you wake up in the morning, he's not going to come knocking on your door and say, hello, I'm the enemy. I have come today to make your life miserable, so you might as well get ready for it. You know? I've come to make your life very unhappy today. And I will use whatever and whomever I can to get my job done. He doesn't do that. He uses the little things. So he already knows you have everything, as I said, in you to be in your spirit to be an overcomer. And he's trying to steal your joy, your health, your relationships, your peace, and your courage. Because he knows if he can discourage you with the little things, you will lose your joy, and there goes your strength. So we have to learn to maintain our strength. These things that I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. God wants your joy to be full till it is overflowing. The Word is good news. You agree with that? The Word is good news. And good news always produces joy, doesn't it? Good news always produces joy. And you remember the book that Jerry Savelle wrote? I hadn't read it for years, but he said, if Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. What is your good? It's health and wealth and goodness and mercy and peace and joy and happiness. Those are the goods that you've been given. And you're daily loaded with his benefits. His trust. You cannot keep a joyful Christian down. Once you learn the force of joy and you get a hold of that word, you can't keep a Christian down. And the same joy that you experience on the mountaintop is the same joy that you experience when things are not going well. In other words, joy doesn't bounce back and forth. I have joy not because of the circumstances of life. I have joy because of my relationship with Jesus Christ and what I know that he has done for me. Amen. So his trust, your trust as a Christian is continually trusting in the Word. And that's where our joy comes from. Knowing what the Word says and receiving that truth is joy. Habakkuk 3:17 says, although the fig tree don't blossom, there'll be no fruit on the vines. The olive shall fail, the field shall no meat, the flock will be cut off from the fold, and there'll be no herds in the stalls. Now that's a bad day. Yet, it says, even all these things are happening, it says, yet I will rejoice. Part of your joy is rejoicing. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There's a song that says, I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free. Yes, I'm free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told. Amen. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It's joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing. I am saved. And the devil can't take that away from you. You are saved. You are born again. What a wondrous blessing. I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of his grace. The Savior's presence is near, and I can see his smiling face. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how his waves of glory roll. It's like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. And one of the things the enemy wants to confuse people is, life happens. So when he begins to use those small things, and when things come along, stand and just say, this is just life. In other words, the coffee pot's going to quit working at 5 o'clock in the morning. Don't let that steal your joy. Because praise God, as good as coffee is, Pastor Laverne, our life isn't sustained by a good black cup of coffee. Tires wear out. Cars break down. People get sick. Bodies wear out. Our bodies ache. People get grouchy and say mean things. Those are the little things that the enemy uses to steal your joy. But when the coffee pot breaks down at 5 and won't come on, you know what your attitude should be? Oh, praise God, I get a new coffee pot. I'm going to get a better one. When the tires wear out, you knew they were going to, but you weren't prepared for it. Well, praise God, I wonder where this is coming from. Somebody's going to give me some new tires. It's all in the attitude that you have, church. We need an attitude check sometimes. Remember the message I preached about your attitude, where planes have what they call an attitude adjuster on it? And it goes up or down according to how you adjust the altitude attitude. And that's actually what it's called. That's where our life is. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. And those are those well-meaning people that come along in our lives that gives us those attitude adjustments sometimes that we need. So all those things happen. But those are the things, those are the simple things that the enemy uses to steal our joy. So the next thing something happens like this or something else you may be thinking about, just say, that's life, life happens. But I'm not sustained by those things. I'm sustained by the Word of God and what He has already said. Amen. There's another song that's just awesome that the praise and worship team has got to learn. It's the Old Church Choir by Zach Williams. There's a revival and it's spreading. If you want revival to spread, start spreading the joy of the Lord around. You know, we're in this world, we're not of this world. We shouldn't be talking like the world and we shouldn't be acting like the world. Amen. They're like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah. And it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. Sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing because I've been restored. And there ain't nothing going to steal my joy. There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. And when you start confessing things like that, hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. So leave here today with the message that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if something happens this week, then just say, well, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm just going to stand back and watch you do what I know that I could never do. You know, have that attitude of a joyful spirit. And we know that everything that you need to be overcoming in this life is already within you. The devil's not trying to make you sick. He's trying to tell you that you're not the healed of the Lord. And he's trying to steal that healing from you. He's trying to take that from you, what you've already got. We're not out trying to get something. We already got it. And the enemy is trying to steal it from us. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength, church. Darling, do you want to say something? They can't keep God out of school because God lives in you. So he's there. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us today to just simply remind us that your joy is our strength, the joy that you've placed in us because you live big in us. And we're just going to rejoice in the God of our salvation. When those little things in life that comes along that wants to steal our joy, we're just going to stand back and rejoice and watch you move. Watch you take situations and turn them around. Just as you gave us that word this morning, that there are situations that are getting ready to take a 100-degree turnaround. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, that you're the one that navigates us our lives by your Holy Spirit. And that you're the one that's leading and guiding us. And we're so thankful for that today. So thankful for your word. So thankful for this time that we have together in your presence. In Jesus' name. Now I just speak the favor of God over your life. That you're blessed coming. That you're blessed going. That everything that you touch has favor. And wherever you go, God is there because he's living inside of you. And he cannot be kept out of anywhere. Though the world may say he's out of our schools and all these things. We walk in the authority of the Amen. Lord. And wherever we go, there's an anointing upon us to bring joy, to bring peace, and to break harmony because the light always outshines the darkness. We're thankful for that today. In Jesus' name, now, amen.
Hi, Pastor Shirley. I scared her.
No, you didn't scare me.
I didn't. No,
we're not scared for people.
I just want to take time this morning, all of us do, to say thank you for giving to the Lord. And I know... Maybe everybody hasn't had an opportunity to tell you that, but we appreciate everything you do. So we don't have a big dinner planned, but I tell you what, we've got a reception back here, some punch and cake, and we want you and Kenny go on back and get behind your cake so we can get our pictures made. And everybody stay and go up and hug Pastor Shirley and Kenny and thank them for what they do. You know, it's not easy to get a word together. I mean, you know, anybody can get up here and just say anything. But when you put a strong word together like that, that's going to feed you. And I thank God for that. Plus prayers, as she prays for you. And the time she gives out here. Thank you, Pastor Shirley and Kenny. You all go on back and everybody else join in and tell them how much you appreciate them this morning, okay? Thank you. Tell each other how much you appreciate each other.